Philosophy and metaphysics that have been handed down to us through the centuries from the dawn of time before the digital age. Listen at freedomizerradio.com or at augustbooks.com. Call in with your thoughts and comments at 319-527-6208. Press 1 to join Ed live on air. And now, here is our host, Ed August.
The host with the most? I hope so. You remember that? It was Topper. That was a 1950s comedy. I don't think they ever really showed it in rerun very much because it was kind of filmed in bad quality. But what's the woman's name? Okay, it was George Kirby was played by Leo G. Carroll played Topper. But anyway, the woman was called the hostess with the mostest. So I was an innocent kid. I had no ideas about that. Hostess with the mostest. She was cute, though. I mean, I could see she was classy and she was cute. And that goes back to 1955 or something. You know, I was going to talk about a whole bunch of different things today, but I think I really want to start a segment on something fresh in my mind from this morning from my astrology show. And that was that today I was talking all about Sagittarius. And if you will indulge me a little bit, I wanted to tell you a story that links in with a important astrological aspect. You see, back in the early, well, actually it was 1969, I met my then-to-be future wife, and we immediately, you know, just glommed onto each other. We're both going to college, and let's see, about 7 days after I met her, and we had been constant companions for 7 days, we had heard that the Rolling Stones were going to be in Altamont, California. So that was about 25, 30 miles away. So I had a car, and we drove the car over there. And then there was such a mishmash of cars, and the traffic stalled for like a half hour. It wasn't moving an inch. Everybody abandoned their car in the middle of the road, and they went off to see the concert, you know. And when we came back, the concert itself was wild. I think two people got killed, one by Hell's Angel. One was a motorcycle, I think, drove over somebody that was out there. So anyway, it was a violent, rowdy, crazy concert. We didn't know all that had happened. We didn't know because we were way out there. We were like about 300 yards away from the stage, maybe 600 yards is more like it. But anyway, when we got back to the car late that night, like 2 o'clock in the morning, the car was gone. All those cars were gone. They had all been towed away. So there we were at 2 o'clock in the morning and hitched a ride back to San Jose, back to the college. And that was one instance. That was the first instance of many instances of weird and strange things that happened between me and my Sagittarius friend whenever we went on a trip somewhere. Now, fast forward to about just only 2 or 3 months later. Now, it says under the qualities and personality, Sagittarius, that they love a good time, they love adventure, and they love to travel. Well, that's putting it very simply, isn't it? But she really did love to travel. She loved to go places. So anyway, 2 or 3 months later, we hopped a plane and flew to, where did we go? We flew to Mexicali or something. Then we grabbed the Ferrocarril del Pacifico, the West Coast Railway, which I'm not sure is even running anymore. And we went down the coast up to Guadalajara and back to a seaside town we'd heard about called San Blas. And San Blas was just a sleepy jungle town, really jungle. I mean, there were bayous, there were crocodiles, there were, you know, strange animals of all kinds, living with snakes, you know, and stuff like that. Iguanas going up your wall, you know, of your bathroom or whatever your little hacienda, your little casa. So it was a weird freaking place. Well, within a couple of days of being getting there, this woman who loved to travel, we had not married yet. Anyway, she came down with something like malaria. Well, there was one place called a mosquito abatement clinic in town. There were no doctors, but there was a mosquito abatement clinic. So they wheeled her in there, and gee, this was a mess. There were blood. There was blood-stained sheets on the beds, and there were these little salamanders going up and down the wall of the well, you'd have to call it a hospital because it really was a hospital. Window was wide open. Anyway, they put her on a drip, you know, to give her some solution or what do you call it when you're on a drip? What does that give you? Saline solution? Is that, yeah, like a, could be anything. Could be anything. So anyway, she's immobilized there and sleeping and stuff. And it gets to be 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. All of a sudden, I realize there's nobody here. There's nobody here in this makeshift hospital. We've been left here overnight. And I'm watching this drip, you know, and it's kind of dripping down. And I know there's not supposed to be any air gets in there in that tube. Just as it's totally running out and I'm panicking, then the nurse or whoever, you know, comes in at 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And that place was weird because they left the main door open and you could hear, you know, all kinds of jungle noises. Jungle noises all night long, you know, and with these insects and these, you know, creatures running up and down the wall. It was pretty creepy. So the next day I had enough. They'd put her on like 7 different suppositories or something. She was not getting better. And I found some kid that had a car. And I said, look, I'll pay you $20 to drive us up to Topeak. And Topeak was the nearest town that had an airport. So his eyes glazed. He said, oh, yeah, man, sure, come on. So he drove us with our luggage and everything up to the airport, grabbed this small plane. And the plane was really weird because this is a plane that flew from Topeak to Durango, Torreon. So how about that for three kind of out-of-the-way Mexican cities? And anyway, this guy had, like, he hadn't shaved in a few days, and he was kind of wild and crazy. I swear, he was drinking right out of a bottle of, like, vodka as we were flying. And at one point, just for fun, he did, like, a barrel roll, you know, just to show off, you know, his prowess and everything. Well, anyway, and that plane went from Topeak to Mazatlan, so that's where we landed, Mazatlan. Then she got better. Okay, so that was cool, right? I'm building up to something astrological, which I think is very significant, because all these little anecdotes, all these little anecdotes end up proving something that's in the astrology books. Well, anyway, oh, and by the way, she's a Sagittarius. I'm a Gemini, so we're opposite signs. Maybe this happens more when there's opposite signs. I don't know. The very next time that we go to Mexico, this time we fly into Mexico City. It's about a year or two later, maybe 2 years later. And we get out of the plane, and there's a taxi right there in front. Taxi cab driver, very cheerful, picks us up, and we're driving towards, we're just leaving the airport when there's sirens and there's a red, you know, red light, and he's pulled over, and a couple cops or whatever, you know, and they look like military. And this one guy, a kind of a short, squat guy with epaulets and ribbons, you know, and stuff on his chest, you know, he comes, oh, senor, senora, pardon me, however it is. I forget how that worked. But anyway, he said, pardon me, we had to stop you because this is one of the people that we think are kidnapping tourists from the airport and they are taking them out, you know, and robbing them and killing them. So I thought, oh, okay. Well, that was timely. I mean, I'm glad that we were, you know, arriving on the day that we weren't going to be kidnapped and killed. So anyway, so this military guy sits down in the car. He said, would you mind his car? Got us in his car. And he said, would you mind? I'd gladly drive you to wherever you're going in Mexico City. So yeah, we were going to the Zona Rosa to a hotel there. And they drove us into town. But this was just another bizarre happening. Let me see what happened. And that trip also was when we were someplace near Sanborn's House of Tiles, I think it's called. It's this house that has tiles on the walls. It's just beautiful. People gather, tourists gather there and have coffee. You know, it was like the Starbucks of its day, the House of Sanborn's House of Tiles. And somehow I got into an elevator, and the elevator got stuck between floors. And like after a while, I was, you know, pushing the buttons and stuff, and then I was yelling and everything, and I could hear somebody whistling in the distance, not paying any attention. So finally, I was rescued from the elevator. Then we went out to the pyramids, Los Pirámides. Do you know those? There's the Pyramid of the Sun and the Pyramid of the Moon. And there in Teotihuacan, which is about 30 miles northeast, I think, of Mexico City. You have to take a couple buses and stuff. It's way out in the sticks. So we're enjoying ourselves, and we climbed to the top of the Pyramid of the Sun. And somehow, I don't know what the heck we were doing, but we missed the last bus going back to Mexico City, and they locked the gate on us as we were standing there thinking of what to do. So there we were, middle of the night. She was crying on my shoulder because, you know, I mean, she loves adventure, but she doesn't want to be stranded out in the middle of nowhere. Got a ride back into town with some American hippie kids. I'd call them hippie kids. They had a Volkswagen, and they had like seven people in the Volkswagen, so we piled in. So as we got near Mexico City, they were stopped at, there was like a gate there. I guess it's like a toll road, you know? And they were taken out, and I think the car was going to be searched or something. So then we got a ride into town. It was just a really bizarre adventure. Well, the very next spring, she and I got an invitation to go to one of these restaurants to see a presentation about something, free meal at the Greek Taverna or something if you come and see this presentation. So the presentation was for real estate for lots of land at a place called Shelter Cove. Shelter Cove is up on Mendocino County, or maybe it's Humboldt County, but it's in the northwest corner of California. So to get there, we had to take a DC-3, which was a very old plane. I think those planes came out in 1947 or something. So they were still running in the late 60s, early 70s to some extent. And we went up there, and it was kind of interesting. They made a really good presentation to us about how cool these lots were, and about the person who was in charge of this organization was so lucky that if he fell out of an airplane, he would land on a mattress filled with $100 bills, you know. Well, anyway, the presentation was pretty cool, and we actually bought a piece of land and put $50 down on it. I mean, everything was cheaper back then, so we put $50 down. I think we're the only people out of the tourists, the 20 tourists that went up there, that bought anything. And I remember the manager of the whole thing, she gave us cans of salmon and tuna and stuff that had been canned up there, beautiful seafood that they have there in that part of California. And we said goodbye, and we're going down. There's this headland, right? It's a headland which is above the ocean. At the end of this mile or what, half mile or whatever, is a cliff that goes down into the rocks. So as we're coming closer and closer and closer and closer, all of a sudden the picture of Jesus comes into my head. I swear, you know, and it was like I was white knuckling it, you know. I'm not usually like this, but there was something that told me, oh my God, this, we're actually in danger. And I said, with this picture of Jesus in my mind, I said, oh Jesus, please save us. Please save us. Well, and right then the wheel kind of went bump, 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 and then you had this feeling of acceleration and elevation, you know, and the car and the plane went right over the edge of the headland. You could see the ocean below, and it came back to San Jose International Airport from there, you know, a couple hours or whatever flight. Beautiful flight, everything was cool. We got off the plane. So we were at home, and then I heard some news or something. What had happened is that very same DC-3 had flown back up to Shelter Cove, and it picked up that whole real estate team that was there that weekend, because this is like Sunday evening, to bring them back. And that plane, you know, taxied out there, and they went over that headland that I was reporting about, and it lifted up briefly. And it landed right in the Pacific Ocean about, you know, 300 feet, 400 feet or something out past the breakers. And it hit pretty badly. As I recall, 17 or 18 people out of 20 people on the plane were killed or drowned. And we survived. And I've written about this and many other episodes in my book, Strangest Adventures of Ed August. Strangest Adventures of Ed August. Now, you can don't bother looking for it now because it hasn't been published yet. It's in a PDF file, and it's slowly working its way, you know, to Amazon, to Kindle, maybe to some other, maybe to CreateSpace. You know, we'll see, you know, what we can do. But it's like about a 400-page book because I've had so many strange, weird things happen in my life. Let me see what else happened with me and her. So it was that trip. There was two trips to Mexico. Well, any time that we, you know, left the house practically, there was some danger. And why was that? Why did such freaky, weird things happen? Well, in looking back on her chart just now, I saw that her Mars, and I'd known this at one time and I forgot it. Her Mars is in 24 degrees and 59 minutes of Virgo, and my planet Uranus is in 25, 56, and my Jupiter is in 24, 31 Sagittarius. And anyway, the Mars is midway between my Jupiter and my Uranus. Now, the Jupiter leads to travel and adventure and exploration and all that kind of stuff, being very, you know, kind of just loving to go places, see things, do things. And that was how it was for the whole time that I was with her for nearly 5 years. The Mars part of that quotient is just deadly. Now, listen, if you want to Google this, just go and Google Mars square Uranus Sinistry. Sinistry means comparison of charts, S-Y-N-A-S-T-R-Y, and have a look, and you'll see. I just can't do it on the screens I have right now at the moment, but if you do, it'll say that this is injects a bit of danger into the relationship because there's kind of like an actual possibility of accidents and, you know, misadventures and stuff like that with it. And, you know, with astrology, the closer the aspect, the stronger it is. In other words, if you're born with your Venus 3 degrees away from your Mars, hey, you're a sexy person, you have a love of life, you know. But if you're born with your Venus 5 minutes of longitude away from your Mars, then you are off the charts. You're off the map with so much rambunctious, you know, sensual energies and stuff that demand to be released, you know. So what I'm saying is the closer the aspect, the stronger the effect. So this aspect between her Mars and my Uranus, but also my Jupiter, was so profound that as to be, you know, notable for a number of anecdotes of adventure and weirdness, you know, that happened. What was another one? Oh, yeah, we were out on Lake Tahoe. She has a chalet that she owns at the north shore of Lake Tahoe. Lucky me, huh? Well, for a few years anyway. So we had rented this boat and from someplace like Tahoe City up in the north. No, Kings Beach. It was Kings Beach because her house is near Kings Beach. And we had two friends along, and we're speeding south. And the idea was to go to Emerald Bay. Emerald Bay is a beautiful, beautiful part of Lake Tahoe. It's an island with a little castle sort of sitting in the middle of it, you know, at the south end, the southwest end of the lake. And of course, the big mountains overhead, you know, just past it, that rim the entire lake with sometimes snow-clad peaks. So but this is in July or August or something. So we're going a pretty good clip. She's driving the boat, piloting the boat, steering and whatnot, standing there. And notice that some clouds are coming up over the edge of the lake. Then all of a sudden, a cloud is coming down, like, towards the lake. And then I just couldn't help but notice thunder and lightning. There was lightning strikes. And the lightning strikes were right in Emerald Bay, right around where that little island is. But they were definitely hitting the water. So I look at her, and she's all excited. She can't wait to get there. You know, and I just thought, wait a second, this is crazy. I said, hey, we got to turn around here. She said, no, what do you mean? No. And I said, well, look, the lightning is hitting the lake over there. And because to me, I kind of figure lightning likes to hit the thing that's the highest above the water. And that would be me, because I was taller than any of them. And I don't want to be hit by, you know, lightning. That would be a bad way to spend an afternoon on Lake Tahoe. So when she wouldn't give in, I would say, hey, give me that. And I basically took control of the boat. I steered the boat around to the right, back towards, actually, I think we ended up at Tahoe City on the northwest side. We'd started from the north side. We ended up on the northwest side. And, well, the two friends were alone. They didn't say a word. They didn't want to get in the middle of it. She was sullen and angry with me for like about 3 days because I had spoiled the party. I had spoiled the afternoon. Well, I'm sorry. That's a crazy idea. And who would do that? Who would do that? Drive off, you know, I mean, sail off like that across Lake Tahoe with a freaking thunder and lightning storm coming in, you know? I respect things like lightning and thunderstorms. I really do. Let's see how our time is doing. I've been talking pretty fast, but I don't know how far I'm getting. 3:20. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so with different people, there's different combinations like that. All I can do right now is to give you an example of this one particular special Sagittarius in my life. There are many other things that that kept us together, and she was very friendly. She was she was gregarious. She was social, and she was beautiful. And so, you know, we spent a lot of time together, and she fell in love with my astrology. That's actually what happened. Is I was doing some readings on campus because I was going to school there, and she said, "Oh, I heard that you're an astrologer. Would you want to do a reading for me?" Okay, so yeah, so that's how I started doing that, and we were together for the next 7 or 8 days straight. You know, I think we alternated. She took me home to her place, which she shared with 4 or 5 other young ladies, and they were very upset that, you know, I was there because, you know, we're making strange sounds and stuff like that and playing loud music and everything. And then and then some of the time she would come over to my place, you know. Hey, it was the 60s. Come on. Okay. It was the 60s. She's making a sound. My technician is making the kind of like hand across your neck, like I'm going to cut your throat if you keep talking about this stuff. Is that not what you mean? Oh, wrap it up. Yeah, but there are many other significant characters in my life and significant women in my life, and they've either been really positive, or it looks like it's going to be really positive in some respects, you know, whatever it is, the original reason why you're attracted to somebody, right? But then after a while, something comes out of the woodwork at you, and you realize, I didn't quite understand this person that well. This person is not exactly the person that I thought she was. But then again, I might have given the same impression to people too. I could be a big disappointment too, I guess, you know, depending. So that's my little tidbit of astrology, is that if you're going to travel around with somebody that has this Mars-Uranus aspect. Oh, okay, wait, one little side note to that is a person that used to come into my bookstore when I had a certain bookstore on Sundays, Sunday afternoons. He came in after church, and he found out that I was doing astrology and I had tarot cards and all this kind of stuff. And he started kind of preaching at me, you know, and said, "Well, have you ever tried Jesus?" You know, and he was persistent, and, you know, he would come in one Sunday, then he'd come in the other Sunday and the next Sunday. And so I said, "Well, let me look at your chart, you know, let me look at what your chart is." So I worked up his horoscope right there on the spot, which is something that I used to do then, because I would go to psychic fairs. And of course, back in those days, all I could do is really take the ephemeris and a big round, you know, chart on a form, and fill in the planets, and then, you know, give them the reading. So that's exactly what I did for him. And I said, "Wow, you were born at 11:16 or whatever it was. Well, you were born with Mars rising, but you had the planet Uranus exactly opposite. So they're angular. That means that they're very powerful. Now, Mars and Uranus, when they're in this opposition aspect, that sometimes causes, like, accidents. Like, do you drive a motorcycle? Do you, you know, because I said this, sometimes this is like daredevils, right? Sort of daredevil. But it could have been anything. He could have been a wrestler. He didn't have the body type to be a wrestler. But he could have driven a motorcycle or something like that. He said, "Well, I skydive." I said, "Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, he helps people. He's a teacher, and he helps people in skydive and whatnot." I said, "Oh, that's fabulous." I said, "Well, you should just be very careful." You know, that's why I say you should be very careful with your chart. We sort of left it at that. So then 3 weeks or something go by. I don't see him for a couple weeks, you know, 3 or 4 weeks go by. And I just happened to be looking at the Sunday paper and the Sunday paper of skydiving accident at a place about 30 miles outside of town. This guy, woman's parachute did not open, and the skydiver who held on to her all the way down, evidently his parachute had some problem with it too, but he held on to her all the way down. Both were killed, and it was him. I recognized the name. That was the guy. Mars opposition Uranus. So I think what I told him was a warning. I know some people would say that maybe I put a seed of an idea in his mind. I sure didn't mean to, but I call a spade a spade. I mean, you know, he wanted to know what his chart was like. I wanted to tell him. So I gave him something that I saw in his chart, which was so powerful as to be accurate. In other words, if an aspect in a person's chart is so close to being exact, then it will manifest and people will recognize it. So, yeah, a terrible thing. He came off as a hero, though, because he had tried to save her life by not, I guess he could have just safely pulled his cord, you know, and floated down safely, but instead he hugged her and had a hard landing. But it's a shame. It's terrible. But, you know, there's some people that should not be football players and should not be race car drivers and whatever. And if you look at their charts, you'll see that there's tremendous elements of danger in there. And also, we put ourselves at risk when we hook up with people that have dangerous charts. Like, I was very attracted to my Sagittarius friend, and I never for a minute stopped to think that that Mars-Uranus aspect could be personal danger. And yet there was, I think, like five different times that, you know, we could have really been hurt or killed. Just some people will attract good fortune. Will you buy this from me? Will you buy this idea from me that when you're with some certain people, you will have good fortune? Good things will come to you. People will enjoy you. You will go out and have a great time without any complaint, you know. And there's other people that, first of all, you wouldn't even want to go any place with them. If you did, it would not be a good experience. Just the same way when you see some people or hear some people for the first time, you have a good impression. With other people, you just hear them on the phone or on the TV or the radio or whatever, and it's like, I don't think I really want to have anything to do with this person. And you know what? That's probably a good idea. Now, at this point, I'm going to inject our live number announcement. Here it is.
Call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air.
And I think we've also got a suite of adverts coming up that are touting products and other shows that are in the Freedomizer radio network. And we are friend here, who's also the technician, she gets one half of this block of time, and I get the other half. I have the first half with Ed August's World, and she gets the second half with Mad Scientists Exposed. But anyway, it's an interesting group of people. I have not met most of them. I've heard a few of their shows. I think that people need to listen to more radio than they do. You know, I think that people are on Facebook too much of the time, tweeting or on Facebook or looking at YouTube or whatever, and they're missing out on some very interesting experiences. If they can find a radio show with somebody who's speaking of issues and subjects that they're interested in, like, for example, when we just went through this thing about Mars and Uranus and comparison between two people that have it, you could have been watching TV or going through, you know, Facebook for years and not seen a story like that, you know. So I try to bring you some unique stories on. And then after the break, we'll have a totally different subject. I'm not sure what it is yet, but we'll have a totally different subject. And shall we go ahead and do some... Thank you.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
You're an activist. You have a cause and an idea, but you also have lots of questions. You need help. After all, teams have coaches, corporations have consultants, and even politicians have campaign managers. But who do activists turn to? The Solutions Institute. We are a collection of professionals and activists from across the political spectrum. Our goal is to teach, motivate, and put all the necessary tools for activism in your hands without charge. Learn more or submit your project at solutions-institute.org.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer Radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
My name is Dr. Eric Norman. I have studied vitamin B12 deficiency for over 35 years. I have developed the urinary MMA test to detect tissue B12 deficiency early, allowing treatment and prevention of permanent disability. B12 deficiency can cause anemia, but also neurologic problems such as spinal cord degeneration, paranoia, and dementia. B12 is found only in animal sources, so vegetarians become deficient. As people age, they may not produce enough stomach acid or intrinsic factor protein for absorption of B12 and become deficient. Up to 10% of seniors may have a normal serum B12 level, but a tissue B12 deficiency causing a 3 times greater risk for heart attack, stroke, or Alzheimer's. For more information, visit B12.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from libertystickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's libertystickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Are you looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are 7 of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Hello. So I'm back again. So you know what I did a few weeks ago that was kind of interesting? I went to just a news source, a good internet news source that's very dependable for having lots of interesting stories, and it's the drudgereport.com, Drudge, D-R-U-D-G-E, report.com. I was introduced to this by some of my Arizona friends here, and it's kind of gotten to be a habit because, you know, it updates like 20 times a day with like new stories. And what I did last time is I looked at some of these stories and I asked questions about them using the tarot cards and actually did like a three-card reading on the tarot. So one of the top stories they have right now, the top story, is vicious virus glows global. And don't worry, this is just a computer virus, but it's affecting some large corporations and companies in Europe, in Russia, the Ukraine, and the United States. Nobody knows where it's from, although, you know, nobody's suffering from it in China or Southeast Asia. So, you know, maybe that could be, or South America. But, you know, Cuba, I don't know where this kind of thing would be from. But anyway, it's one of these ransomware viruses, very similar to what came out just a month ago. It was only like a month or 6 weeks ago that we had that what was that ransomware called? It was called they named it something in a cyber attack. Let's see. I guess I can't find it right at the moment. But an international cyber attack that bore similarities to a recent assault that crippled tens of thousands of machines. Hackers hit dozens of countries, exploiting stolen NSA tool. That's not good, huh? Yeah, they had this. They had a name for it, like WannaCry or something like that. It was if you got this ransomware attack, it would freeze the computer completely, and all you could do was send them, I guess, $300 worth of bitcoins or something like that to a certain address, you know. I mean, or just cyber it over to them. I don't know what I could ask about that, really. Is it going to get worse? You know, let's see. I mean, we've got they're mentioning the cyber attack, but so far it doesn't look to me like it's that universal. It looks like it's hitting a certain number, but certainly not that many people, and individual people. How do you know whether you might be affected by something like that? And, you know, with something out there like that looking to infect your computer, what the hell do you do? Do you turn off your computer for 2 weeks? Okay, something, cyber attack. What's going on here? Okay, there's going to be a balanced and measured response by it. Temperance. The temperance card tells me that the powers that be, I mean, are going to try to heal and cure the situation as fast as they can. It will do some damage because the Three of Swords is a heart that's been pierced by three swords. Well, that's three continents or whatever we're this is working on. But strength comes up. The Seven of Pentacles comes up. That's like a farmer watching his field. And the Chariot comes up. And those are all three. And finally, the Four of Wands comes up. So, yeah, there is going to be some grief, you know, from this cyber attack. But it seems that there's going to be a major response to it. The first response is maybe not going to be as effective as the second response, so maybe this still has some mileage to go. Hope not. I hope they're able to eliminate the threat. Yeah, I hate these well, I don't want to talk about hackers. Who knows? You know, talk about hackers, next thing you know, they're hacking you. So let's see. Let me go back to page one here. Evidently, there's trouble going on at CNN. They botched some kind of story. There was actually a fake news story on CNN, and it says their staffers resign over botched report. And it's an investigative unit that was just rocked. They did not have confirmation for a negative story, something about Russia and Trump, something like that. And anyway, so CNN had to apologize, and they said the three staffers resigned. But it's more likely that they were literally fired. So big changes over there. There's a guy in charge of the place called Zucker, not to be confused with Zuckerberg, but Zucker. And, you know, there could be a shakeup going on over there at some point. Well, we're used to seeing CNN just exactly the way it is, a far left mouthpiece, you know, pretty much for demos and progressives. And I don't know. Could this possibly change? What's going to happen at CNN? There was also a film that was secretly taken of a CNN executive producer where he said a whole bunch of bad stuff about like there was nothing behind the story on the Russians and you know it was funny to listen to. I caught part of it. I didn't get the whole thing. So CNN, and I'm going to cut the cards near the top and see what's just a, whoa, the Ace of Swords. The Ace of Swords is like coming out of nowhere. It's held by a hand from a cloud, and it's just it cuts people off. It shapes and changes business and personalities very fast. It cuts off some heads. So I have a funny feeling that there's going to be a big shift at CNN. Probably they're going to bring in some new management and new operatives. I don't know who actually manages it. This guy Zucker, I guess, does, and he lays down the law. But what's above him is, I guess, Time Warner. Time Warner is the corporation that has been funding CNN all these years. And then they've also been funding that presentation, Shakespeare in the Park, you know, where they were beheading somebody who was made to look like Donald Trump, and they were doing that day after day. Kind of a crazy, crazy thing to do, really. I mean, you know, blatantly bringing up assassinations of the president and stuff. But anyway, so CNN, the Ace of Swords tells me that heads are going to roll. Somebody there is going to be fired. They already got three of these reporters. The guy who blabbed on a secret camera thing might get fired, but he's an executive producer. Hard to tell what would happen to him. But what he said was very embarrassing to CNN and its parent companies. This first card is followed by Judgment, the Judgment card. And the Judgment card means, yeah, big judgment, maybe Judgment Day. It's, hey, it's Judgment Day at CNN. So people are being brought before. I mean, they're like woken up and they're rising out of their graves and stuff. And here is Angel Gabriel blowing a trumpet, you know. So that just applies to CNN. So it could be a big, shakeup over there. Followed by the Page of Swords. And the Page of Swords is a young person, younger people, a new, you know, maybe class of reporters or something brought in to, you know, do some different work. So it tells me that they're going to go some new direction. So look for CNN to have a major shakeup, to lose a couple of its top brass. And, probably lose a lot of its audience at the same time. Well, they'll keep going. They're not going to fold up. The four of wands shows that they won't do well. There's going to be a new woman coming on the scene too, but I don't know. I think they're going to be bought up or spun off. That's it. Probably Time Warner will spin them off to get rid of them, just like they spun off Megyn Kelly a few months ago. She hasn't done very well. She's evidently been really in, you know, bad shape over there at NBC. I'll pull three cards on Megyn Kelly, because evidently the problem is that she didn't have the audience that they thought she would. She had some kind of report show on Sunday nights on NBC, and it's just not pulling in the audience. The last couple times, including one that was on this guy Alex Jones, who's on, you know, he's a libertarian who has his own show here on both the radio and the TV, YouTube videos, et cetera, tons and tons of YouTube videos. That audience was smaller than the audience for America's home videos. And I think, what was the other show? It was a 60 Minutes rerun of CBS's 60 Minutes. It lost to those. And it happened again this week. So Megyn Kelly, where are you going, kid? Cut them about a third of the way down and see. Whoa, she's been defeated. The Five of Swords shows, actually there's three people in the scene. One person is left holding the swords and the other two people are defeated and walking away. So I don't know who is defeating who there. Who is defeating who? So anyway, the second card is the Three of Gold. Shows three people that are getting together to talk about business and to make plans for, like, it looks like they're making plans on the next show. But then the third card is Death. Now, this is not literally death. It doesn't mean that she's going to pass away, but it means that I think that the things that they're planning to do are going to be canceled. I think maybe they're going to pay her off and give her an early retirement or something. Wow, that's pretty intense. When I'm doing a reading for people that call in, it doesn't usually give me this many bad cards, this many bad cards in a row. Well, the second card isn't too bad. It shows, okay, there's the defeat, there's the humiliation of losing your sword and of being defeated. And then the second card shows that they fight back and they try to craft some kind of further show. There's some craftsmen, there's two people that are advising the craftsmen what to do. The person is a blonde young person standing on a bench. The two people might be, producers and executives, of NBC. And so they're trying to get something going. But then the third card is Death. Death means either, the complete cessation of the operation, or it means stepping away from what they're doing and converting it, totally turning it around, It would be like taking Megyn Kelly and putting her in charge of a show like Romper Room or something for kids and toddlers and their parents, just take it out of the news area totally. Just stop letting her interview people. But that was a good idea looking at Megyn Kelly. That's too bad. She looks like she's definitely not working out with NBC like anybody thought. So are they going to let her keep doing this week after week, or are they going to replace her with, right now it looks like they could replace her with reruns of almost any other show and do at least as well as they're doing right now. So false claims, all kinds of stuff in the media, nasty negative stuff. Let's see what else we can do. Department of Homeland Security is going to begin building border wall prototypes. I thought they were already doing stuff like that. Conservative media gets bigger under Trump. Fallon snaps Colbert's winning streak. I'm not sure. I don't usually watch those shows, NBC, CBS. I just don't watch them. I haven't seen late night, since they had the likes of Letterman and Jay Leno. I always liked Jay Leno. He did the original Man on the Street thing, the interviews. Kind of like those. But anyway, I don't care if Fallon beats Colbert, but I'm going to pick one card. I think that's all we'll do. One card is for Fallon. Ooh, that's the Hermit. What is that all about? The Fallon. That means he doesn't have really a big audience. And Colbert is the Five of Wands. It means there's fighting and infighting and a little bit of confusion. Wow, isn't that strange? I don't know. What network is Colbert on? Do you know? Do you happen to know? What? Asking my technician here, who knows everything usually. But anyway, so it doesn't look like there's too much good coming for either of those guys. So I don't know who's going to win. Let's see. Raccoon rides the New York City subway in a seat. I don't think that's worthy of any tarot cards. CBS? Okay, well, yeah. Well, I miss the days when they had David Letterman. He should come back and visit some more. Illinois becomes North America's Venezuela. Illinois is really having a bad time, and I think a lot of it is from Chicago. I'm not sure. They cannot pay their pensions. They owe, billions and billions of dollars in pensions and stuff, and they're borrowing money. And, of course, they've borrowed money for years. And when they borrow money, there's interest to pay. So, of course, the interest payments get larger and larger the more that they borrow. What were they thinking? What was on their minds? It seems the Democrats and Republicans are to blame for what was going on in Illinois. So I'm cutting the cards, shuffling the cards, pardon me, cutting the cards. I'll cut them about a third of the way down and see what's happening with Illinois. What's going on there? The Star. The Star shows there'll be some inspiration to break the problems and to get some reasonable solutions. It'll be a new direction. People from both sides will be working together to try to save the state so that its bonds don't become junk bonds, you know, and don't pull down the whole country. And this will be worked upon. This will be worked upon. The Three of Pentacles shows, this is what came up in the middle of the last reading. Here it is again, the Three of Pentacles. Three people that are talking about how to do a job, what kind of corrections to make, how do they want to do it. Somebody from on high is giving direction to somebody who's a craftsman to do the job right. The third card, there is the Seven of Swords again. The last one was Five of Swords. This is Seven of Swords. This shows that somebody's stealing money. There is, at some level, no matter what they're going to try to do, there is some outright theft that has taken place or continuing in place, maybe even in the future, of very serious and significant funds. So somewhere on some very sneaky official level, a lot of the money from Illinois has gone into the wrong hands. And it shows that somehow they're going to slide through all this. The Page of Pentacles is just, I'm sorry, the Page of Cups, he's just celebrating. The Two of Wands, person is looking for help to come from Washington and looking for help. And is that help going to come? I don't know. It's kind of a mixture. But the next card is the Ten of Pentacles, which shows there's ample money, lots of money out there. It's just, do they want to trust Illinois with it? I saw an article where they said that maybe Illinois should be divided up between Indiana, Western Kentucky, Missouri, and Wisconsin, you know, I think it was, huh? In other words, just cut off pieces of Illinois and give them to these other states, because Illinois just cannot do the job on its own. I'm going to cut the cards. Would that be a good solution, picking one card? Oh, the Four of... No, it means they're going to get their act together and everybody's going to come home and be happy. They're not going to split up Illinois any more than they're going to split up California, that's also an idea. Maybe I should ask that. Okay, is there a chance that California might get split up? And that card is, no, peace will be made. It's the Six of Cups, where a boy is offering a golden cup to a girl who's his little friend, and this could be California and the rest of the United States. So at some point, California and the rest of the United States will make up, and things will be pretty cool there, you know? So we don't have to worry about that, because that's, you know, what? Would we be better off with California, with there being a foreign border at the border of California? You know, I think they would spend all their money, too. They spend all their money on all kinds of social justice stuff. Didn't Brown, what's his name, Jerry Brown, the governor, didn't he and their legislature just spend $50 million to give additional legal assistance to immigrants who might be... illegals who might be sent back and stuff like that. So I don't know. Not everybody believes that that's the most important place to put their money. You know, it's kind of, I don't know, more plague cases in New Mexico. Plague. Is that caused by bats, you know? I remember the last couple plagues that I heard from New Mexico were from crazy bats that came out of their caves. But of course, I also saw movies like that. There's lots of movies about gross, you know, bats flying in and biting people on the neck and stuff like that. Two more plague cases are reported in New Mexico, Santa Fe County. The New Mexico Department of Health confirmed two more human cases of plague. All three patients were hospitalized. There have been no deaths. That's good. State Public Health Veterinarian Paul Edestad said plague can be present in fleas that infest wild rodents in Santa Fe County, including within the city limits of Santa Fe and other locations around New Mexico. Pets that are allowed to roam and hunt can bring infected fleas from dead rodents back into the home, putting you and your children at risk, he said. health workers are conducting environmental investigations around the homes of the three patients to look for ongoing risk and to ensure the safety of the immediate family members and their neighbors. Yeah, I mean, what you know, rodents, I guess, could be kept out, of course, but the fleas can hop all over the place. And gosh, I mean, if they get on your pets and they come in, it's terrible. They're transmitted by direct contact with infected animals, including rodents and pets. Symptoms include sudden onset of fever, chills, headache, and weakness. So plague is infamous for killing millions of people in Europe centuries ago. Antibiotics are now effective in treating the disease, but officials say without prompt treatment, it can cause serious illness or death. Hundreds of cases have been documented over the last century in the western United States, typically in northern New Mexico, northwestern Arizona, and southern Colorado. Well, northwestern Arizona would be from Flagstaff over to Kingman, I guess, and up to the to the border there, Hoover Dam. It would not affect central or southern Arizona. In 2016, New Mexico had 4 human cases with no fatalities. So these kind of things happen, but you know, it's wonderful that they're able to contain these kind of plague so that it does not, you know, become like the Black Plague and, you know, kill like 1 out of every 3 people or something like the one did in the 14, that were going through Northern Europe in the 14th and of the 1400s and the 1500s. I don't know what we can ask with the cards about the plague and the rodents and the fleas and everything like that. Is that going to work out okay? I mean, do we have to worry about that spreading? I'm shuffling cards while I'm thinking of New Mexico and the plague and the people of New Mexico. And now I'm just going to cut them right down the middle. And the card is the Emperor. The Emperor is harsh, but the Emperor is effective. The Emperor will do the kinds of things that need to be done to clean up and, you know, suppress this invasion of, you know, bad plague bacteria and fleas and rodents and stuff like that. And that is followed by the Three of Cups. I had to get one more. Three of Cups shows celebration. So there's going to be a celebration because this plague is not going to last. And we don't have that to worry about anymore. And let me go to another story. You know, this is kind of fun. I have to back out of the page that I'm on. Let's see. Ah, I touched the wrong thing and it went to a different page. Oh, for Pete's sake. You got to be careful of the buttons that you push around here. Let's see. The EU slapped Google with a $2.7 billion fine. So they're saying, is Google really good? You know, Google is supposed to always be, you know, don't be evil. Don't be evil. Oh, they dropped that? They don't say that anymore. Okay, that's too bad. I don't know what to say about it. Let's see. Driverless mini cop cars. This is the tiniest car you've seen in the world. Tiny, tiny car. How did they get anybody even in it? It says driverless mini cop cars. Oh, driverless. Driverless? What are they doing? Taking pictures of people or something? How do they, what are they looking for felons in a cop car that is driverless? Oh, it has biometric scanners. Oh, it's going to find people by scanning them from a distance. Gee, that's scary stuff, really. Scary stuff. Google earns as much ad revenue as all print media. So you take all the publishing houses on Madison Avenue, you know, and around the country. Google earns more from their ad revenue. I don't even notice their ad revenue. You know, if I'm on Google, I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, when I see these suggested stories or when I see, you know, things that pop up on YouTube and stuff, which is owned by Google, I don't you ignore it if you can? Just ignore it. Or if they have the ad playing within like 3 or 4 seconds, you can get off of it and go back to this, to the video that you wanted to watch. And also, if you get, is it Google Plus or Google Red? I think it's Google Red. Then you can pay a little bit per month And then you don't see the ads at all. The ads all go away. It's like $10 a month or something, I think. So I don't know about Google. The Google search was good for years, and then they began seriously censoring the kind of news that you could get from Google search. So I'm a little skeptical of Google search. There was a company that I like to follow sometimes in alternative health. It was called something Rogers, Adams, isn't it? Mike Adams at naturalnews.com. And at one point, Google didn't like his stories. I don't know what it was. Maybe he was, maybe he had stories about anti-vax or something like that, anti-vaccination. But he could have had all kinds of alternative things. He warns of having grains and GMOs and how lots of foods are GMO'd. I don't know if he has much about chemtrails and stuff. We sure saw a lot of stuff last night about chemtrails and how that's a whole other story. I'm afraid to get into it because I think my blood pressure would go up if I start talking about it. But you can bet that we are being manipulated, and we are breathing aluminum powder and other bad stuff every day if we go out at all. That's drifting down from those so-called chemtrails, which are truly meant to manipulate the weather, but also manipulate the weather and climate, and they don't care what happens to people. It's an experiment. It's a big freaking experiment, and that people are doing on their own, people in their own countries. And so because it's an experiment, it's allowed by the law, supposedly. I don't know what kind of, United Nations law that is, but treaties. We could not do this to people in other countries, but of course we can do it to people in our. If you call it research, it's allowed. So if you call it a bioweapon, it's not, although it may be acting in the form of a bioweapon. Don't tell me you haven't gone out and seen sometimes these chemtrails where they're in a pattern. One and then another one and another one, and then one crosses it. And pretty soon all of them kind of blend. They don't just come pouring right down. They become a cloud cover. Evidently because somebody thinks that global warming is so dangerous and so bad that we need to be shaded. But the way to shade them is by putting all this toxic stuff into our atmosphere. They want to cut off the heat from the sun, and they may be doing the opposite. So I don't know, because of these stupid jerks who take all this upon themselves and have been allowed to do this by the governments without any feedback at all from anybody. I don't think even from academia, from science, or from, I'm sorry, what? From the people being sprayed. I mean, who would do that? Who would do that? You hear of the government doing experiments on, what was it, the black airmen of Tuscaloosa and stuff like that. But you wouldn't think they would be doing it on your grandmother and on your children and your grandchildren and stuff, without any warning, without any notice, to be allowing this particulate matter to drift slowly down to Earth, where it causes a lot of, what do you call it if you have a problem in your nose, ear, or throat, asthma and other things. In Australia, there's a phenomenon that I caught the other day. I was looking at the videos, that is not being reported here yet, and that is that they have lightning or thunderstorms that cause asthma. People get all choked up, because I think what happens is the lightning, thunderstorms, all this stuff comes down really quick, from the atmosphere, and that sets off problems with the nose, ear, and throat. I had something like that a couple months ago, so hard for me to shake. And I know some other people that are never sick with anything, and they're going around with sniffles and stuff, Yeah, it's like sniffles or whatever. Hard to say what the cause of that is. Now, I wasn't going to get totally into this subject, and yet I have a feeling, is my friend going to – you want me to plug you in? No? She's going to probably talk. I'm almost sure that she's going to talk about it during her show, madscientists.exposed, or Mad Scientists Exposed, which comes up 4:30 our time, or in other words, in 27 minutes or so. So anyway, what can you ask about that? You know, I mean, that is a big phenomenon, let me tell you. But it's part of a series of things that are endangering our population. If you stay tuned to her show, she'll be able to tell you a lot more. I can't vouch for exactly what she... I'm not going to try to spread her message. I'm just saying that I've heard it, and I think it's really important to get that information. Yeah. So anyways, let me ask about this agenda, which has to do with chemtrails, with vaccinations, and with GMOs. GMO, I mean, meaning that they're altering our food. And a lot of this is being done with the Monsanto Corporation also, which is, you know, they seem to be straight from hell. I mean, when you look at the kinds of things that they're doing, the kind of things they're producing, you know, they should be, it should disappear. Monsanto should disappear from the face of the earth. And if it never existed, we'd all be much happier. When I was a child, 10 or 12 years old, and I lived in that orchard in Santa Clara, California, the orchardist, the guy who owned the orchard, a couple hundred acres of it, that stretched from where the future Apple computer company was all the way almost to downtown, the Santa Clara suburbs. Anyway, he started spraying the fruit trees with DDT. It was maybe 58 or 59 when he started doing that. He only did that for two or three years. And then it dawned on them, I guess, that this was something kind of nasty and maybe not such a good idea. But anyway, during the time that they did, I remember with these tractor trucks that had like sprayer units on the back. And I remember this guy who like almost like the foreman of the orchard, and he would have a bandana across his nose and mouth, you know. No, maybe he had eye protection. Maybe he had goggles. He had the goggles and like a bandana. And he would, you know, go along with that tanker car spraying. And I remember seeing it from outside, and then, you know, mom saying, hey, come on, get inside, you know. I wanted to see what it looked like, though. So I didn't get that close, but I definitely saw what the tanker car looked like. The stuff was, I think, kind of like a yellow color, like a sulfurous color and everything. Didn't smell very good, that's for sure. And then about 2 years of that, and then for at least 1 year, they sprayed the trees from planes. From, you know, these old biplanes that have the double wings, and they would spray from way above. And I remember my dad saying, crop dusting, just like crop dusting. And he said, well, stay inside, not go outside while they're doing that. And so, and then, you know, I'd stay home that whole day. And, you know, I was just a kid. I used to love going out at night, and they would have the board where there was like a light on the corner of our house. It would attract the moths. And there were these white moths, and there every once in a while was one of these big polyphemus moths. It's as big as the hand, big as your hand, you know. And then they had something called golden-eyed lacewings. I remember writing a poem about it when I was a late teenager. Golden-eyed lacewings keening down. No, I can't remember it now. I can't remember the poem. But anyway, and they were like with green diaphanous wings. You could see through the wings. They had veins on them, and they had golden eyes. So the day after, you know, they sprayed the DDT, and I went out that night, not a thing alive, not anything, not a moth, not a bug, nothing crawling, nothing flying, you know. And what was interesting is we got out of that orchard eventually, I think, but they did stop spraying with DDT. And then in subsequent decades, so many of the people that were associated with the orchard came down with cancer. The owner of the orchard died of cancer. His daughter died of cancer. His secretary, who had a little office that was just a little ways away from where they mixed up the DDT before they sprayed it, she died of cancer. And I think one of the other brothers died of cancer. And the foreman of the orchard died of cancer. And my dad eventually died of cancer, colon cancer. My mother got skin cancer. My brother got out of there before any of this happened, so he is one lucky guy. He's older, of course. He's 16 years older than I am, but he does not have to worry about that. And I'm still okay, I think. I've had a few little scares and whatnot, like everybody that gets to be this age. But, you know, at least I have not been floored by that killer disease, cancer. I must be doing something right. I don't know. It must be my Viking heritage, you know, the Baltic Viking heritage that fights back. And, you know, I don't do the raping and pillaging, though, you know, that the old Vikings did. I don't, you know, like go into towns and rip them up, you know, and get all the jewels and stuff like that, you know, although I don't know. You go back about 300 or 700 years, it might have been different. So anyway, how did I get to this point? Oh, yeah, I was going to ask the cards. So ask the cards about these toxic, polluter, one-worlders who really want to suppress humanity, who want there to be less people, who want there to be population to go down. Maybe according to the Georgia Guidestones, which say that Earth should only have 600 million people, not 6 or 7 billion people. What's up with that? I mean, you know, are these guys going to win? You know, they're an evil lot, and there's only a few people that seem, comparatively few, that seem to know how bad it is and that something should be done. So what's the story? The Ace of Wands. God bless it. That's a card of power. These guys have huge power because of that Ace of Wands. They're holding a club. They're holding a club that goes from the air up in the, it's coming from a cloud that goes from the air down to the land, because in this one there's land and water and trees at the bottom and a mountain in the distance. So that I don't like that card. The next one is the Three of Wands, which means that they're looking for results and they're waiting for a project to manifest. They're waiting for some kind of project to take hold, or they're waiting to hear a report back from whether what they're trying to do is working or not. In other words, can they get all these people in Central Africa to women of childbearing age to take a vaccine that includes a sterilizing drug that sterilizes them, so they may be pregnant, but the baby's not going to be born alive. That was documented, that was done, I think, by World Health. You know, take a look at that one. What country was that in, dear? What country was Kenya? Kenya vaccinations sterilize. You could, you know, probably Google that if you want. And she also has an article at her website here on madscientists.exposed. It's madscientists, plural, .exposed. Remember, we trust science. It's just the scientists we don't trust. The third card is the Ace of Swords. The Ace of Swords is a wonderful card because it cuts off the power of those who wield the Ace of Wands. The Ace of Wands is the companies and organizations and billionaires who have gathered together, and they're waiting. They're waiting for their project to manifest. They're waiting to, start taking down some governments and some peoples. They're waiting to create havoc and mayhem, as near as I can tell, because they maybe feel, well, there's too many people on Earth. We got to do something. That's the only thing I can think of, short of maybe this is being orchestrated by aliens from outer space, is that this is being done by people who just totally believe that thing that I know high school and college students are swamped with. They believe it themselves. We heard some college students pipe up about, oh yeah, there's too many people, start right now, cutting them back, you know, because that's what's fed to them, is that depopulation would be the best thing that could happen to Earth. That means that children should not be born as much, if at all, right? I mean, that means, sure, you can abort a child. Sure, even a child that's born. A baby that's born has very little validity. There's a move, I don't know on what level, but to make it seem as though a baby is not yet a human being. A baby should be 2 or 3 or 4 years old or something, walking and talking before it's thought of as a human being. And that up until that point, a parent or the state can exterminate such children if it feels like it, you know. That's way beyond what China is even doing with their one child policy, you know. It's terrible. So anyway, the Ace of Swords tells me that these guys are not going to win and that wisdom will prevail because the high priestess came up. And so there's a female element that has not been seen here. The female element, by which I mean Mother Nature loving the earth, getting rid of these people that are manipulating and controlling our destiny. So anyways, hey, wait a second. What time is it? 4:14. Well, maybe some commercials. Yeah, I think we need a little bit of commercials, and then we'll see what else we can find on Drudge. I was going to read some stuff from my writings, but I think it's just I just don't feel that it's going to fit the framework of the thing. But I did want to tell you that I have about 32 different books and ebooks, and some are paperbacks. The paperbacks you can find at lulu.com. And if you just go to www.lulu.com/Ed August, but you can also go to my website. Just go to edaugustsbooks.com. That's as my name, right? EDAUGUSTS, books, and /. And what's it under? What's the category it's under? Books by Ed August. And there's two pages of them. And those include my paperbacks. But if you want my my ebooks, I have several. I mean, I think there's four, including probably one of my most popular books. There's a link there also on my website that goes directly to Amazon Kindle. And there you can see things like planetary combinations in astrology. Planetary combinations in astrology, 420 or 450 pages, depending on how you format the page, because, of course, you can expand it or contract it on a device, you know, like a Kindle reader. And several other books, Vlad the Impaler, and others. There's a whole bunch of book reviews and movie reviews of some creepy stuff. I love creepy stuff. The more creepy it is, the better. But anyway, haven't looked at that stuff lately, but I went through long periods of time where I just love the creepy and hairy stuff that's out there, you know, books of monsters and whatever. What else have we done here? Oh, yeah, I remember since getting some of these things like Netflix and also Amazon Prime, you know, we've gone through like most of the X-Files, most of the Fringe episodes, stuff that's really, really choice. And, you know, if you get the Amazon Prime, you get to see things for free. But I don't want to advertise Amazon Prime. I'm not here to advertise Amazon Prime. I'm just here to advertise what maybe I can do with you or for you is give you some entertainment and information through some of my books, any books. And I think we have some queued up. We have a few commercials queued up. I'll be right back in like 4 minutes.
Do you want to live a happy and healthy barefoot lifestyle? Join Barefoot is Legal Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to learn your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. There are no laws against bare feet in public, and we are here to dispel the myths and empower you to stand up for your rights. Join full-time barefooter and victims legal advocate Nick Pierce on Freedomizer Radio for the Barefoot is Legal radio show Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific, and check out barefootislegal.org.
Sunday, 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 starting at 7:30 p.m., expand your mind, develop your consciousness. Great conversation, great advice, and great fun. Counterculture-wise radio, only on freedomizerradio.com. We're on to you. Are you on to yourself?
Solutions to Delusions. How do you do this? Well, join me every Friday night on the Delusion Solution Radio Show from 6 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and 9 to 12 midnight Eastern Time right here on the Freedomizer Network, where we will be discussing and discerning the times by making sense of current events and bringing to light much-needed topics. Our calling number is 347-324-3704 to listen in. Watching with your ears and listen with your eyes. I'm your host, Tara Dawn, and I'll see you there.
Hi guys, it's me, your host, Red Gypsy, reminding you to come journey into freedom with me every Monday night at 10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. This is going to be a show that's going to cover everything from metaphysics to holistics to herbs to gardening to barefooting to grounding and so much more. Dare to be different, dare to be you, and dare to learn to love yourself unconditionally. Namaste.
Tune in to the Mad Scientist Expo Show every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, where we discuss the science in the news today, take a closer look, and expose where fraud is being committed for various agendas, from money to politics to downright pure evil and malice. Of course we trust science. It's scientists we don't trust. Tune in and join the conversation on Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, on Freedomizer Radio.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Hey, hello here, and here's a news story from Australia. From down under, Sydney's last video stores are closing. There was a chain of 27 stores called Civic Video, and they were the last ones standing in Australia. They were there from something like 25 years. But, of course, they've had declining customer numbers since about 2015. And now people are rushing in to bring home as armfuls of cheesy 1980s movies and box sets of long-canceled TV shows, hunting for obscure titles and stuff. So people are scrambling to get this stuff because I guess some people out there still have their VHS, you know. And I know I have VHS, and I thought at one time years ago that I might be living out in the woods somewhere, and I didn't know if I'd be able to get cable or satellite or what. And so I started, recording movies onto VHS from TV, you know, and like 6 hours of vids on one. And I ended up with something like 30 boxes, banker's boxes, cardboard boxes, you know, full of vids. And for like the last 5 years, I don't think I've watched any because, first of all, of course, like the VHS player breaks down and you buy another one and a couple years and then that breaks down, and VHS players are not what they used to be, I guess. Well, I think if the problem is I go to Walmart and look for the cheap ones, I'll get something for like $60 or $40, and of course that's not going to last very long. And then after you lose two or three video players, then you just decide, you know what, I'm not even going to bother with this VHS anymore. And then you just get a flat screen and get a better subscription, get Amazon Prime, maybe get Netflix. Well, Netflix has not really worked out for me at all because I noticed at one time Netflix has about 10,000 different movies and features, and now it went down to 6,000, now it's going down to 4,000, and they just don't have a really good variety. They have a lot of very up-to-date movies, but a lot of the up-to-date movies are boring or badly made, or they're dumbed down. You know, there's nothing intellectual intelligent on there. You know, I like, but if I go to Amazon Prime, I can see thousands of movies. Like they have probably 14,000 documentaries and 16,000 horror and 15,000 science fiction. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, they have a huge stockpile, and those, if you have the Amazon Prime, are free to watch, and if you don't, then they're going to cost like $2.99 each, you know. So that might not be quite to your taste. So I'm looking at this really sad-looking guy who's looking over a partition in one of these video stores. It says recommended viewing, and then behind him is documentary and different genres. And he's just looking so sad because they're closing the store. But, here I think in Arizona, in California, I think these stores have been closed for years. There's actually one big store that's still open in Tucson. And what is that one called? It's called Something Video. What's the video store in Tucson that, you know, Casa Video? Casa Video. Yes. Casa Video is it in, you know, Tucson. It's on the kind of west to just east of the University of Arizona on Speedway Boulevard. And, yeah, I've been there a bunch of times. But, you know, but I get tired of paying $2 or $3 each. And there's, you know what there is? There's always that late fee. There's always that blasted late fee that, you know, you just keep them. You can't get back there on the day that you think, and you have to eat that late fee. And that's obnoxious, you know. The late fee might be more than what you paid to rent them in the first place. But, you know, that's where you can get some really good series and movies that are very obscure and hard to find. And I think lately it's all been DVDs, right? It's all been DVDs, not the actual videos. Because right now my videos are all locked up in storage. And I don't know when, if ever, I'm going to see them again. So anyway, the time is coming down where I think I want to do one reading on videos and on technology. Is the current DVD going to be with us for much, much longer, or is that going to be replaced by something else? And I just want to see what pops up. Ha! It says, beware, the nine of wands. It's a person looking back over their shoulder because there's rivals. There's other technologies out. Something new, the page of swords, something new will come along and sweep away the technology of the moment. But people kind of like DVDs. They will be still around. Their strength shows a struggle and a compromise that's going to be made. And who are these queens? There's a queen of wands and a queen of swords. The queen of wands and the queen of swords. There's going to be several different technologies that are going to be functioning and competing with each other at the same time when it comes to video, audio video. And, you know, we love YouTube. How is YouTube going to function in the next 6 months or something? Are we going to get – is YouTube going to become better or worse? What's the story there? I noticed that they were doing some censorship for a while. YouTube. Ace of Wands. What's this Ace of Wands? Ace of Wands. Okay, so they got lots of power. And the Seven of Pentacles shows a farmer watching his crop. The crop is growing. There's more viewers. There's more everything. And also the Chariot. The Chariot means a big operation where there's a number of different things that are going on at the same time. The King of Pentacles, a very wealthy man, somebody who's become very wealthy off of this, who might end up being the wealthiest person in the world, the Ace of Pentacles. But wait a second, Google. Google owns YouTube. Google is owned by those two guys out in California and Silicon Valley. I don't remember their names. It's called the Alphabet Corporation. So Google is becoming Alphabet. But wow, the King of Pentacles and the Ace of Pentacles, nothing but money. There is nothing actually that's going to hurt them for quite a while. Now then the very next one is this broken heart, the Three of Swords. Well, maybe they'll eventually, but it'll take a couple years. Maybe they'll eventually get a antitrust thing there. What do you call it? When you're a monopoly and then people, you know, the government tries to break you up into smaller companies, like I think is going to happen with Amazon. Okay, really quick. Is Amazon going to have some kind of action taken against it that could bring, rip it up and start off some smaller companies? Will the stock go down, et cetera? And Amazon. And that is, oh, again, it's the freaking Seven of Pentacles. No, it looks like just getting bigger and bigger. Queen of Cups, okay, it has customers, they like it. King of Swords, it has somebody who's a very strict businessman and who knows how to balance his accounts. It's the Two of Pentacles. Is there any bad cards, future cards? What's going on here? The Hanged Man. Well, at some point, somebody's going to start, you know, complaining and whatever about Amazon. And it may also become a victim of some kind of government action or correction. And but we don't have all the details yet. And let's see here. Queen of Swords, just thinking, should we get into the stock market? If somebody has some money, should they get into the stock market right now? Judgment. It's their own judgment. The Fool. The Fool. You know, if I have to ask that question, then it's a foolish question. You got to know the answer to it. Except, I don't know the answer to it. But when he asked about stocks, the Fool came up. So I guess that means that stocks, you got to be very careful right now. The Federal Reserve is manipulating the money market, and possibly stocks will suffer, especially in about 12 or 18 months. That's my theory. That's my theory anyway, and I'm sticking with it. And here we're going to slip right out from Ed August's world into the fantastic world of Mad Scientists Exposed. And I thank you all for listening and watching. And see you again. And look for my regular show on Blog Talk Radio, Ed August Psychic Astrologer. Thanks so much. See you again on Thursday. You don't have an exit music for me. Bye, friends. Stay tuned now.